So the first question I ask everyone is, what issues, what decisions drew you to running for District 742 school board?
I've always held the district very high in my heart, my mind, just because maybe of my own personal experience. But after graduating 20 years, coming back, getting involved with, you know, the district again, being my oldest son was starting first grade when we moved back, things were great. But after a couple of years, there started to be this progression of just little things, really, that were kind of concerning. It was really as we got closer to this COVID thing that things really started to pop up and go, and, you know, you'd kind of step back and go, well, that's kind of concerning, you know, especially when we went to the distance learning. And it was a challenge. I'll give them that. It was a challenge. We had to learn how to do something we'd never done before as a district. I just think a lot of kids fell through the cracks with that. Even the second year, it would have been the probably 21-22 school year, when we went back to like a hybrid type to, you know, couple days on, couple days at home schedule. A lot of kids need structure and they need people to kind of motivate and push them to actually sit down and do each lesson and move through each part of the day. So you got kids that are at home and, you know, possibly their parents don't have the ability to be there all day with them or check up on them as much as they should or would. In a normal situation. So kids who aren't self-motivators really lost out. And you can't expect a 10-year-old or a 9-year-old to, you know, motivate themselves to set up structure for themselves throughout the day. It's they're kids, you know, they need adult supervision. And so just little concerns like that, things with school safety, you know, my son coming home from middle school, telling me about, you know, different fights or different issues going on in the school. Like I said, it was kind of a slow progression. It was all these little things that started popping up. It got to be very concerning as a parent. Also, you know, transparency. Before the whole COVID situation popped up, I would go, when my son was still at Westwood Elementary, I would go have lunch with him probably, I don't know, I want to say 2-3 times a year. Just go and sit down with him and his friends at the cafeteria and, you know, kind of let them do their thing, but just be there for, you know, my son and have lunch. And it was always just a nice 25-30 minute session. Well, when COVID happened, then all that kind of started falling off, which, you know, I guess, you know, we need to control who and what's coming into the school, and rightfully so at that time. But it doesn't, you know, there was other things where it almost made, and me as a parent and other parents that I've spoke to, almost like we weren't welcome back at the school. You know, whether it was for safety or health reasons. I mean, these are our kids. These are the kids that are with us, you know, the other 16 hours out of the day. You know, if they're worried for health reasons, well, you know, whatever, I've got my kid already brought to school. So why are we getting so concerned with that? You know, and just other things, as different issues started popping up at school, different social issues, different gender issues, racial issues. And you know, coming, my son coming back home from school, telling me about things that, you know, they heard in school or saw in school. And those things were concerning, because I don't believe those types of things, whether it's social justice or, you know, gender, racial, you know, identity, sexual identity type stuff, I don't believe those have a place in our school. Now, in someone's personal life, great. You know, that's you. You do you. I'm open to that. But in school, kids are specifically there for an academic reason. They're there to learn. They're there to obtain knowledge and skills that are going to help them jump from grade to grade, you know, successfully graduate, not just get pushed through. And also, once they're done with their high school education, hopefully they've retained enough skills and knowledge to enter the workforce, enter society, you know, be a positive part or member of our community, not just, you know, hanging out in mom's basement wondering what the next step is. And there's always a time for that, but we're kind of lagging in that area.
Now, let's start out with the high points, the 30,000-foot view. In your opinion, what does 742 do really well? Where are their successes? What do they do better than any other school district?
Well, the first thing that pops to mind is the special education department of our district. It's amazing. They always have had a very good special ed program, and Westwood was actually one of the main facilities for those types of programs. I remember myself in the elementary school growing up and seeing our, you know, our special ed students and there at the school, and I was friends with a number of them, and it just it always warmed my heart to see that there was programs set up to help our special ed students. The thing that we can look at that says they do it so well is we actually have people from outside of the district open enroll to our district for that specific reason.
Many people who run for school board understand the positives, but there always seems to be a negative, a cloud on the horizon, a concern that really drove them to sink their teeth into a run for the school board. What are your dark clouds on the horizon?
I have three of them. And number one would be academics. I can't remember exactly how many weeks ago now, but probably about a month ago, the Minnesota State Report Card came out for all of the different districts in our state. And our graduation rate and our proficiency rates for the academic subjects are very low. We're talking 28% to 35% for, you know, things like reading and math. And it's not just the last couple of years. I know a lot of people like to say that, you know, well, you know, the last 2 years was a very challenging time. You know, like we talked before, some kids fell through the cracks with the, you know, distance learning and things like that. But actually, if you go back to like 2017, 2018, the proficiency rates were about the same within, you know, 2 to 3% of what they are now. So that's concerning on a pretty high level.
So in your opinion, what's the solution to that?
When talking with, you know, administration or current board members, a lot of times they will bring up the vast diversity that we have in our district, you know, whether it's students, community, anything like that. And I think that is, there is a little bit to that. I know it's challenging dealing with, you know, kids who need to first learn English and become proficient in that before they can really dig into the academic side of things. Frankly, I think we have a great ESL program in our district as well. I know we're kind of jumping back and forth from negative to positive here, but I can speak personally on that because my son, being born in China, his first language was Mandarin Chinese. So when he came, you know, when we moved back in 2016, he had to go through the EL program, and it was amazing. He did great. I think a lot of times with the diversity and the EL side of things, we're almost using it as an excuse as to why our proficiency rates are so low or why our graduation rates are so low. And there's four levels to the EL program. And right now, if you look at a lot of the statistics, a lot of the children who are in the EL program have been there for, you know, 3 to 4 years, and they're kind of stuck on that level 3 to 4. My question is, what are we lacking to get those kids to the next, to that final level, so where they can be proficient in EL and then really focus on all the other academics? I don't have the answers. I'm not, you know, I'm not the magic answer guy here, but I just think I think we need some more perspective on some of the situations in our district, and probably some new, you know, some new discussions and thought processes on how to effectively improve on those.
This is the campaign speech. It's the question I ask everyone. It's the elevator speech. Why Mike Beckers for 742 School Board?
I really believe that in education, we need to bring everything back to the basics. And when I say back to the basics, I'm talking about the real reason why kids are in school. They're there to learn to read, write, do math, learn science, arts, industrial tech, you know, the skills that are going to get them to where they want to be or need to be in society. Kids don't always understand why they have to do these things in terms of, you know, learning this or learning that. But as we grow older, we start to look back and we realize things. And I don't want kids to get through graduation and look back and go, I don't have any of these skills. Now what do I do? So I really want to bring education back to the basics and focus on the academic side of things.
Those were the questions that I wanted to bring to the table, but I always give everyone an opportunity. Were there issues that you specifically wanted to talk about, you specifically wanted to bring forward?
I think discipline and behavioral issues are a big thing as well in our district. I think we need to focus on those. Obviously, I'm not part of the administration at the moment, but as a parent, I hear a lot of things from my own student who is actually in the school and sees things happening on a daily basis, whether it's fights or bullying, things like that. I think if we can focus on discipline and our discipline policies and making sure that they're enforced to the fullest extent of what we have, I think that can really help out on a lot of these safety issues within the school.
So let me ask you this. In terms of bullying and in terms of fights in the school, do you think it's a time for new policies and new procedures? Or do you believe there's a disconnect between the policies and procedures that already exist and the way they're being implemented in the schools?
I think it's always good to review policies. I don't necessarily think that at this point, you know, there needs to be changes to the policies, and maybe in the near future, possibly as we review things, as we look at kind of the situations in our schools with the students and everything that's going on, those types of discussions could possibly spur on changes to policies. But I think right now, for the time being and, you know, the immediate future, I think we really need to look at making sure that our policies are implemented in that sense. So like if a student has an issue and is sent to the office for something, making sure that the proper things are, you know, proper documents are filed and, you know, whatever consequences lie within the policy, making sure that those consequences are executed within that situation, and not just letting the child sit in the office for 15 minutes on a chair, you know, telling that student, you know, well, think about what you've done. And then after 15 minutes, just sending them back to class.
Do you believe that's what's happening now?
In certain situations, yes. My answer, my reply to that comes from speaking with present and past teachers within our district who had situations with discipline happen to them in class or in school, and seeing the policies not being upheld.
So in your opinion, the disconnect is probably at the sub-administration level. So
absolutely,
it would be the principals, the assistant principals at each individual school.
Absolutely. I think as an administration, we need to let children know what's expected of them, what is allowed and what's not allowed, and what will be tolerated and what won't be.
Do you believe it's a school district's responsibility to back the administration and teachers once those decisions have been made? Because invariably, the parent of said student will say, well, that wasn't my student. That was someone else. Well, the decisions, the policies were followed. The decisions have already been made. When a constituent calls you and says, hey, you've got the wrong horse here, is your job to back the teachers and the administration?
Absolutely. But at the same time, I think there needs to be a clear understanding of the entire situation, and things need to be looked at I don't know if investigated is a good word, but essentially investigated to make sure that we do have the whole story. We do have a very clear understanding of what happened. But yes, I believe that the administration and the teachers should back each other and have a good relationship in that sense.